as the number one option, Steph Curry is done winning championships.
I'm going straight to the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Don't forget the website, sportsandthereal.tv. Check out the website, sportsandthereal.tv, with the latest and greatest from the episodes. Links to various resources and experts on the website, sportsandthereal.tv. Check it out. As always, I appreciate you guys for taking a few minutes of your day to hang out with me, listen to my ramblings on sports and other things. So appreciate y'all checking me out. So let's jump right into it. Christmas edition of the Sports and the Real podcast. Biggest talk over the Christmas break or Christmas itself, right, was the fact that the NFL basically stepped into the NBA's arena. They came into the trap, as they say, and they took over the trap. They tried to. The NFL came in and put on two games on Christmas on a Wednesday, on not a Sunday, not a Monday, not a Thursday, not even a Friday. A freaking Wednesday. The NFL put two games on a Wednesday on Christmas, knowing good and damn well that's the NBA's day. That's the unofficial start of the NBA season. The NFL stepped in and said, we're taking it over. Two terrible games, but the NFL even had the nerves, knowing that it's the NBA's day, the NFL had the nerves to step in and put on two games. Why did the NFL feel the need to do that? Why did the NFL feel like they could put on two games when they know it's the NBA's day, when it's the unofficial start of the NBA season? In all the years of football and basketball going on simultaneously, the NFL never had the nerves to put on a game on Christmas Day. Not when there was Manning and Brady. You could have had plenty of Manning-Brady matchups on Christmas Day. Never did. Plenty of high-quality running back Emmitt Smith and versus Barry Sanders, I don't know, matchups could have been on Christmas Day. There were plenty of opportunities, Marino and Montana, I don't know, Aikman and Steve Young. They had plenty of opportunities to put on marquee matchups on Christmas Day, but the NFL never did that. And I know the NBA bros, a lot of them are making excuses for NBA ratings and why the ratings are down, and they're saying the ratings aren't actually down. We're making a bigger deal than it is. Say whatever you want. The ratings are down. Less people are watching, and there's various reasons for that. And I've talked about that in previous episodes. But what I do know is that in the however many years there's been Christmas Day games for the NBA, the NFL, unless it was a Sunday or a Saturday, the NFL never jumped in and said, hey, let me put on a doubleheader on Christmas Day. They had the marquee matchups to do so. They had the quarterbacks to do so. Like Pete, Brady, and Manning would have outdrew any game the NFL could have put on this past Wednesday on Christmas. But they never did. They at least respected the NBA enough to not do that. But I don't think the NFL respects the NBA nowadays. They smell blood in the water. They realize that less and less people are watching the NBA, and they're jumping in. Even though the NFL has its own faults, even though the NFL knows that parents aren't putting their kids in football as much as they used to because of injury fears and brain injury fears and all that stuff. Even though the NFL only has like 11 minutes of game time action compared to the NBA's back and forth action. They know all these things. They know the gruesome injuries that could happen, but the NFL will still have the nerve to put on a game on Christmas Day, knowing it's the NBA's unofficial start of the season. Not that the NFL wouldn't have drawn numbers, wouldn't have made numbers when Michael Jordan was on Christmas versus the Knicks, or Kobe or Shaq. Not that the NFL wouldn't have gotten their numbers. NFL is going to make numbers regardless. They are king in the United States. But they at least respected the NBA back then enough not to do it. Nowadays, the NFL doesn't care. They don't respect the NBA. They don't respect anybody. They know that the NBA is losing TV viewership, even though they charge a $500, whatever it is, for their YouTube TV package to get the NFL package on YouTube. Even though they know that, they don't care, bro. The NFL says, we're going to come in and we're going to disrespect you guys. We're going to come into your house and we're going to disrespect you guys. Even though there were four great games from the NBA, four great games. Even though there were four great games, right, from the NBA on Christmas, the NFL still made numbers. They never did that during the Jordan years. Because they knew that there were people who we weren't going to turn away from Michael Jordan against the Knicks. We weren't going to turn away from Kobe Bryant and Shaq on Christmas. Or Kobe versus Shaq when Shaq went to the Heat. Like, that was theater, man. That was cinema. We weren't going to turn away from LeBron and the Heat. We weren't going to turn away from LeBron versus the Cavs. Like, the NBA was theater. It was cinema. And the NFL has realized that there's less and less of that in the NBA now. To its credit, the NBA struck gold the other day on Christmas. But the fact remains that the NFL found it easy to just say, hey, man, we're going to put two games on Christmas Day. Turned out to be two bad games, two blowouts. But the fact that the NFL said, you know what, we could actually disrespect the NBA right now and put on some games. The NBA should take notice of that. So I know there are people around NBA circles who is like, the NBA doesn't really have a problem. The product is great. No, if the NFL could disrespect the NBA like that, they sense the problem, just like I've been saying, just like others have been saying. They could feel it. There's blood in the water. It's like sharks, man. They could sense it. They never did that stuff with Jordan. They had the opportunity. There were much better matchups back with Peyton Manning and Brady. Much better matchups than what they put on this past week. The Steelers with Russell Wilson? Come on, man. Come on. There were much better QB matchups to put on back then than there are now. Freaking mid-QB play going on now, but the NFL feels like they could step into the NBA's territory and take it over. So if that doesn't tell you the state of the NBA and the state of viewership in the United States, I know the NBA wants to go global, and they may not care as much as the U.S. landscape, even though Adam Silver himself has spoken about it. It should tell you something that the NFL even thinks about on a Wednesday. If the NFL can even think about putting on a game on a Wednesday, Christmas, that should say something to the NBA. That should be a wake-up call. Hey, man, something's up. So that's crazy to me, dog. So when people say, hey, the NBA is, you know, being relegated to baseball territory, baseball popular, and NBA fans are like, nah, that's not true. It is. It is. Because the NFL has realized that the NBA is losing its national popularity and is becoming a regional sport. This is just the NFL testing the waters, man. It really is. It really is. If the NFL wanted to, they're like, man, we could put up until the Super Bowl, we could put a game on every day. And the NBA can't do anything about it. And that should be a wake-up call. So Adam Silver, what are you going to do? You got to do something, man. Adam Silver, wake up. Stop getting your ass beat, Adam Silver. Do something. All right? So I've provided recommendations before on what to do to fix the NBA and the viewership. I've talked about the lack of physicality. Bring back physicality. I've talked about, you know, load management and these. I've talked about that. I'll probably talk about that other times, right, in the future. Because I want what's best for the NBA. Like, I want this thing to be the best version of itself with the best athletes. I want the game to be its best version and not what we see now. But there's people like me, Adam Silver. Holla at me, man. I got you. Adam Silver needs to talk to people like me and other people who love the game before it became this three-point fest. Not to people who are influencers who happen to have a big following on social media. Not talking to people who are good behind the mic and can talk and draw a big following. Who are good on camera, Adam Silver. Not to those people. Don't talk to the nerds and to the people whose only relationship to basketball is numbers. Don't talk to those people about how to get viewers back into the people back to watching basketball. Those people have no idea what draws people to watch basketball. The people you got to work with, Adam Silver, when you do your next focus group, Adam Silver, on what to do to bring back people to actually watch basketball and improve the ratings, are the people who actually love the game. The love of the game, folks. The folks who are busting their butt at LA Fitness hooping. The folks who hoop before work at 6 in the morning. The love of the game, people. The people who get off work at 5 and at 5:30, they're at the gym hooping. The people who are in the gym is packed. They know they can only play one game. If they lose, they're gonna have downs like 10 downs, waiting 10 downs. Those are people you need to talk to. The people who wake up early on Saturdays and Sundays to go hoop, those are the lovers of basketball you need to draw to find out what it is that draws you to watching basketball on TV. Not the nerds whose only relationship to basketball is a spreadsheet. Not the people who are just influencers who happen to like watching the game. They don't love the game. Adam Silver needs to talk to the people who actually love the game of basketball, who continue to play the basketball despite the fact that playing basketball probably gives them nothing. They're not going to make any money off of it. They just love the game. And they love watching the game. That's who Adam Silver needs to reach out to find out, how can I bring back more people to watch the game? Because if you had spoken to these people, Adam Silver, they would have told you that nobody gives a damn about the color of the damn floor. Having colorful floors during the in-season tournament means absolutely nothing at all to people who love basketball. Having 5-11 jersey combinations means nothing to people who love basketball, Adam Silver. Who gave you that idea? You're listening to the wrong people, bro. Maybe the only jerseys, special jerseys people care about, maybe it's the Christmas Day one. But people who love basketball don't give a damn about the jersey combination, man. We don't care about colorful floors. That means nothing to us. Matter of fact, it hurts our eyes. You can't keep up, man. So if Adam Silver has spoken to people who actually love the game of basketball itself, they would have told him, man, who the hell told you about these colorful-ass floors you're putting on the ground? Nobody gives a damn. Nobody gives a damn about having 20 different jersey combinations, bro. Get rid of all these promos, even though we know the league's about making money. Stick to basketball, man. The cinema, the theater. Physical, gritty, competitive basketball. That's what people like me, that's what people who love basketball would have recommended. No one would have ever recommended people who love basketball. The dudes who were playing basketball before work at 6 a.m., the dudes who were getting off work and heading straight to the gym to hoop, those dudes love basketball. They love physical, gritty basketball. They ain't trying to do this up and down, everybody just jacking up shots, basketball, no defense. They would have told you that. They would have told you that that turns off people. Nobody wants to watch just a three-point layup contest. So you listen to the wrong people, Adam Silver, and if you want to make the league better, if you want to improve ratings, get the ratings back up, if you care to get the ratings in the U.S. back up, talk to the people who love the game, man, the love of the game people. get away from those people who they're really good at numbers. Okay, good for you, man. Go work in the lab. Go work at NASA. Keep hoop to hoopers. No, seriously. If the NBA wants to do something about it, get feedback, get input from people who actually love the game, still play the game as much as they can, right? People like me, we can't play every day, but we find a way to squeeze that joint in our schedule. And we may have achy knees after we play, but we play for the love of the game, man. Talk to people who love the game. The people who built the league's popularity, the people who built the culture of basketball that people enjoy now, that the fans globally enjoy now, the people who built the culture of basketball, the fans, talk to those people. Hey, man, how do we get people to love basketball? It ain't about no defense 130 to 135 scores. It ain't about colorful floors. It ain't about different jersey combinations. It's about basketball, man. The competitiveness, the rivalry, the I don't like you, you don't like me, I'm going to give you buckets, you're going to give me buckets, basketball. That's what draws people. So Adam Silver, hit me up, bro. My line is open. We'll talk to somebody who loves basketball. That's enough of that. Moving on. All right. LeBron and the Lakers went up against the Warriors. Great game. It's crazy that LeBron, I keep repeating it, LeBron and Steph continue to be the biggest draws in the NBA. And that was great. That was a great game. I ain't gonna lie. Great game. Great basketball. So I've said this before, and I think it's worth repeating, and I'm gonna add on to it. The Lakers are pretty much in the same situation that they were in last year around this time with Darvin Ham. Pretty much the same situation. And when they started off great, everybody was giving them credit. Everybody was like, oh yeah, JJ Redick is much better than Darvin Ham. And not really. They're in the same spot. And the Lakers are in the same spot because they're the same team. And they're the same team because they're still relying on old-ass LeBron and injury-prone AD. And they will remain the same team who looks good against certain teams, but against other teams, they look really bad. Against Denver, they have no shot because of the team structure. And people don't want to say this. Like, bro, the Lakers, they're going to remain in the same position as they are as long as LeBron and AD are the leaders. All right? That's it. LeBron is too old. Congrats. You've reached, you know, GOAT status. You're on GOAT's level, whatever you want it to be, you want to be called. But the Lakers aren't winning anymore with LeBron as the lead. They're not. They're not winning any more championships. LeBron's too old, and AD's too injury prone. And that team is just not built. They don't have anybody else to really take over like that, to take the mantle from LeBron. So as long as LeBron remains your number one option and AD is like 1B, the Lakers aren't winning anymore. So LeBron's at the point where he's just playing for the love of the game, just like Kobe after a while was playing for the love of the game. People called out Kobe for playing too long and getting contracts that he probably shouldn't have. But he's playing for the love of the game. And LeBron at this point really been playing for the love of the game since he left Cleveland. Not going to lie to you. That bubble championship, they probably don't win it if that's a regular year. If they don't take 3 months off or whatever it was, the Lakers probably don't win the bubble championship. So really, since he's left Cleveland, LeBron's been playing for the love of the game. He ain't playing to win no more. It may look like it, even though he's still competing his butt off as much as he can, but really his body ain't going to let him. And when you watch him, his body, he about to be 40. He's old. 39, 40, whatever he is. What's impressive, though, sidebar, is you watch LeBron now, and I remember when I was younger, I was watching somebody like Robert Parrish run up and down the court. It's two different types of – Robert Parrish was looking like an old-ass dude. grumpy-ass old dude look like he needs a damn wheelchair. LeBron is still one of the best, like, in the best shape of some of these dudes in the league. Better shape than a lot of these dudes in the league. So I give him that much. But he's done. LeBron's done, just like Kobe was done for several years. This is, LeBron is in his Michael Jordan Wizards years. At least Jordan was playing for something else, right? He was playing for ownership. LeBron at this point is playing for the love of the game, getting paid, gets to play with his son. That's what he's, LeBron ain't playing to win no more. Lakers fans, LeBron is done winning, and so are the Lakers. So whatever you say about changing players, trading, it ain't happening. It's not happening. And the same thing can be said for Steph Curry. The same thing that we say about LeBron, he's done winning. The same thing, and I said this after last season, Steph is done winning championships, and the more I watch him this year, the more I am convinced that there is nothing you can do to the Warriors. You can add whoever they want. Unless they totally remake the team, bring in somebody like the Joker. But if as Steph, as the number one option, Steph Curry is done winning championships. So Warriors fans, you guys can do whatever, say whatever you want, complain whatever you want about the front office. Steph Curry is done as the number one option winning championships. And I know it's sad to see, as somebody who's seen their favorite player age out, that's what happens, bro. Steph has aged out of 1A championship guy. Injuries, nagging injuries catch up to him. The man had 10-point games and 2-point games. Prime Steph, come on, man. This ain't happening to Prime Steph, bro. But he's done. And there is nothing they can that the Warriors can do to get to the point where Steph as the 1A can win a championship. It's over. The Olympics fooled y'all. I remember watching the Olympics and people on social media was like, man, the Warriors got to get a team around Steph. He can still do it. No, he can't. The Olympics was, he could just be Steph and run around and be Steph, LeBron, KD, Embiid. These guys, you know, they handle the rest. He could just do his thing and shoot. But a grinding NBA season, going to a grinding playoffs against the best of the best, Steph is done. 16th season, he's averaging 22 points. Steph is done. The faster Warriors fans realize that, the better off you'll be emotionally. Steph is playing for the love of the game, just like LeBron is playing at this point for the love of the game. So don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, as the saying goes. You got to experience one of the best ever. But it's over. But let me ask y'all this. As an owner, say you're an owner, right? You own the Lakers, you own the Warriors. What do you do? Bron and Steph are clearly still the biggest draws in the league. They still pack arenas. You gonna force them out? The Lakers couldn't force out Kobe Bryant. So as much as these guys are done winning championships, you can't, as an owner, you're making so much money off of these guys, you're not going to force them out. So whatever contract they get, you're making more in return because of their presence there. So if you're an owner, would you have the guts to tell Steph, hey, man, we're trading you because we're not winning as it is? If you're Jeannie Buss, would you have the guts to say, hey, Bron, you got to go, man? You wouldn't, because that dude is bringing you so much money. He's bringing you so much money by being there. You'll put up with losing seasons. You'll put up with mediocre seasons if you're Jeannie Buss, if you're Lakers. Because at this point, the owners ain't going to tell you that. They're putting dollars over winning. Lakers got his 4 chips. Jeannie Buss got what she needed out of Bron. So now it's dollar bills, man. Cash rules everything around me. So now those two ownership groups are putting money over winning. I hate to break it to you, Lakers fans. I hate to break it to you, Warriors fans. Your ownership is now putting money over winning. because there's nothing the Lakers could do as currently set, as long as LeBron and AD are there, to win a championship unless they bring in, you know, somebody that makes them unstoppable, like KD, the Joker, Embiid. I don't know. Embiid's always hurt. But y'all get what I mean. There's nothing the Warriors can do unless they build a freaking Olympic squad around Steph. It's over. Steph Curry as the number one option is done winning championships. And it's sad to see. But him and Braun, they're in the same boat. It's crazy that it took Braun so long to get there. But him and Braun are in the same boat, playing for the love of the game. And I appreciate it because there are some of the last dudes who actually go all out every time, as best as their body allows them to. On Christmas Day, they both put on a show, as much as their bodies allow them to at this point. They take us back to a generation of players who actually care. Dudes who actually love the game. So yeah, it's sad. It's sad to watch it go downhill. It is sad as hell. But Father Time is undefeated. I don't care what numbers Bron continues to put up. He could put up as many more triple-doubles as he's want. When he plays the really good teams, you can tell time has passed him by. And it's time for the next crop of players to step up. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. All right, one last thing from Christmas. Victor Wembanyama is the truth. So I want to get that out the way. Vic Wimby, whatever you call him, is nasty. He was going crazy against the Knicks, hit a bunch of threes. That boy is like that. But you know what? Despite his three-point marksmanship, despite his three-point capabilities, marksmanship is the word I'm looking for, y'all. Despite his capabilities, despite his agility, Wemby, unfortunately, and I'm going to repeat it, Wemby will not reach his full potential until he's able to consistently get his butt in the paint and score easy baskets at the rim. He's not. I know he put on a show the other day at MSG, and it was amazing to watch. But until Wemby gets a little bit stronger to get his butt down in the paint, he's not going to be able to win a championship. He's not going to reach this alien GOAT potential that everyone has been saying he's going to assume he's going to get to. He's not. First of all, stop the KD comparisons with Wemby. Only thing they got in common is they're both skinny. KD moves like a guard. All right? Stop the comparisons. KD is a guard who happens to be tall, 6'11", whatever he is. Wemby is a center, a big guy, who has some ability to handle and move and shoot. But they are nothing alike in terms of agility and ball handling ability. KD handles make guards touch the floor. KD's handles make good defenders, good wing defenders, slip and fall and look stupid. Unfortunately, Vic ain't like that. Wemby ain't got those. He ain't got that wiggle. He can't. He's too damn tall. His feet ain't quick enough. He doesn't have the shiftiness of KD. So while he's agile, he's nimble, he ain't KD. So first of all, stop the KD comparisons. Secondly, bro, you're 7'5". Get your butt in the paint. Wemby's going to have to get a little bit stronger and get his butt in the paint so he could finish at the rim, go-go gadget arms anytime he wants. So while he was shooting great against the Knicks towards the end of the game, the last half of the fourth quarter, these boys put OG on him. They put OG on him, or Princess Achiuwa. Come on, man. OG Anunoby? Achiuwa on Wimby? That should be easy layup. But he couldn't. And that's disrespectful. So that's why he's going to, if he's going to truly reach his potential as this unstoppable guy, he's going to have to get a little bit stronger. He don't have to be Giannis. He ain't got to be Shaq. But he's going to have to get a little bit stronger to where dudes don't just move him off his spot so that he catches the ball, turns around, and it's a dunk or a layup. Easy baby hook every time. That's what he's going to have to get to. Or else he's not going to reach his potential, man. He ain't. Shooting those threes looks cool. It's alien stuff. But he's going to have to get to the point where he can catch the ball 9 feet, 10 feet from the basket, turn around, easy bunny. You can't have OG Anunoby guarding you and you don't get the ball down low and easy finish every time. Princess Achiuwa, it should be disrespectful to put those dudes on Wimby. I know he's only 20. But I hope they don't just keep him out there shooting threes and not working on his low post game. Because his height is his biggest advantage. At 7'5", his height is his biggest advantage. And he has to know that. Somebody has to tell him, hey, man, I'm a giant. All right? Know what your biggest strength is. LeBron knew what his biggest strength was. LeBron could shoot. He can shoot middies a little bit. And now he can shoot threes really well. But those threes he's shooting, LeBron shooting threes now, is helping to extend his career so he's not, you know, jumping and going to dunk on people and getting fouled in the paint. So LeBron's jump shot now is really to extend his career. And before that, his jump shot was really to keep people honest. But when LeBron needed a bucket, a clutch play, anytime LeBron needed a clutch bucket, for the most part, it was head down, right hand drive, put you on his left shoulder, that wide shoulder of his, and it was over. It was either a dunk layup or you had a foul every time. When LeBron needed a bucket, it was to the hole, downhill, head down. He realized his strength was his strength. LeBron realized his greatest strength was his actual physical strength. Head down, to the hole, you're on his left shoulder, you can't get around him, he's going to body you and one. That was LeBron's strength. His jump shot was just to keep people honest. His three-pointer has extended his career in his day and age where everybody else is shooting. Giannis' bread and butter is, I'm going to bully you down low. I'm a physical, athletic freak. Now, we want Giannis to shoot jumpers better, not because we want him to go out there and hezzy-hezzy, tween-tween, shooting middies all day. We want Giannis to get a little J so he could be respected so that if he does give you a head fake, you have to bite, and now he's in the paint dunking on you. That's why Giannis needs a consistent jumper, not so he could be out there shooting tray balls all day. His superpower, he's as strong as hell, and he's athletic. So if he gets a decent jumper that's respectable and consistent, then there's no such thing as building a wall against him. Because if you just fall back and wait, he'll just pop a jumper in your eye all day. That's why we want Giannis to get a jumper, not so he could be out there shooting tray balls. It's so people don't fall back on him and sag back. Because then he could just out there and shoot 15-footers all day consistently. So, but Giannis knows his strength is in the paint. The Joker can shoot three balls. The Joker can sit out there and shoot threes if he wants to. But when the Denver Nuggets, I'm not talking about when it's like 3 seconds left on a shot clock and he has to shoot. But when the Denver Nuggets need a big bucket, Joker gets in the low post. He gets the ball, right shoulder, left shoulder, up and under, bang, 2 points. Every time, easy money. Because the Joker knows his greatest strength is in the paint, bodying fools, making them look small. There's nobody in the league who can counter that. The Joker could sit out there and shoot tray balls if he wanted to. He's a really damn good shooter, but he doesn't. So Wimby's going to have to realize that, hey, man, that tray ball is really cool, but it's really just an accessory. The main event, the main meal, is going to have to be Wimby down in the paint. Give me the ball. I'm playing against some kids here, mouse in the house. Give me the damn ball, 10 feet in, turn around, easy layup, go-go gadget arms, dunk every time. That's going to have to be Wimby if he's going to win championships. Because if he's just out there shooting tray balls and can't get in the paint, then he's going to suffer against somebody like I watched Sengun push him around. Even on defense, I watched Sengun move him. He's going to foul out, so he's going to have to get stronger to help him on defense. But on offense, you can't have Princess Achiuwa and OG Anunoby guarding you. So in the last half of that fourth quarter, he took a couple of threes and missed them. That's when you take your tall behind the paint and go shoot easy layups, Wimby. That's what should have happened. So if Wimby's going to become all that people expect him to be, he's going to have to get stronger. Like I said, he ain't got to be Giannis. He ain't got to be Shaq. But he's going to have to get stronger so people don't move him and don't put no damn OG Anunoby on him. Are you kidding? Get out of here. Three-pointers are great, but easy layups are even better. Even the analytics nerds will tell you that. But now it was a great slate of Christmas games. The Celtics game, the Sixers was amazing. I mean, the defense they allowed the Sixers to play with, that's basketball. Adam Silver, that's basketball. That's what we want. Like, Caleb Martin was up in Jason Tatum's jersey. And Jason Tatum still really had a really good game. But Caleb Martin was in his junk. And he was fouling them a lot of times. But they let the boys play. That's basketball. That's what we want. Let them play. That Sixers-Celtics game was actual basketball, man. Let the Hoopers hoop. Let them play defense against each other. Jason Tatum is like that. He don't need cushy pillow soft defense. He can score anyway. Let him hoop. That's basketball, man. That was a great game. That was probably my favorite game of the day. Because I love the defense that the Sixers was allowed to play. And it turned into a great game. So shout out to Christmas Day for really good games out of the five. Even the fifth one wasn't too bad, but four really good games. All right, real quick, NFL. MVP. So I'm going to say this. Lamar Jackson is the MVP this year, all right? He is. His stats are just so much better than everybody else. Lamar Jackson should be the MVP this year. But you know what? Lamar Jackson has turned into the Jokic, the Nikola Jokic of the NBA. Because no matter what happens, Lamar is going to be given the MVP. And while Lamar should be the MVP this year, he really shouldn't have been the MVP last year. But now, no matter what happens, Lamar is going to be the MVP race. Whether it's the excuses, well, he got the better stats, which he does this year. Whether it's what he's a one-man crew like it was last year. He was the best player on his team. If he wasn't there, his team wouldn't have been as good last year. No matter what it is, it's an excuse for Lamar to be the MVP. So Lamar has reached Nikola Jokic territory of the NFL, meaning no matter what happens, Lamar gets to be the MVP. Because last year, Dak should have been the MVP if we went by the stats. Dak had more touchdowns, more yards passing, yards per game. Like, he had all of that. Dak was a better QB last year, but they gave it to Lamar because the excuse was, without Lamar, Baltimore wouldn't have been nothing. That was the excuse last year. Without Lamar, Baltimore wouldn't have been nothing. They were 13-3 with Lamar starting. Dallas Cowboys with Dak were 12-5. That was the excuse. Lamar had a better record, and without Lamar, the Ravens wouldn't have been nothing last year. They wouldn't have been anywhere close, even though Dak Prescott had the better year statistically. Fine. This year, the narrative changes because Josh Allen has the better record, not the better stats. Lamar has the better stats. And Josh Allen actually plays for the team where if you take him off, they suck. But now people are saying Lamar's the MVP because he has better stats. So the narrative changes every year to fit Lamar Jackson. And I love Lamar. Hell, he was my starting quarterback in fantasy this year. I love Lamar. I need him to win a championship to solidify himself. But you can't one year make up this excuse and then the next year make up that excuse. So it becomes what the NBA is doing with the Joker. Because every year the narrative changes so the Joker can win the MVP. Well, his team's record is not that good, but he's the best player in the world. Well, his team record is really good, and his stats are, like, every year it's a different excuse to give the Joker the MVP. And it's starting to seem that way now. Every year, no matter what happens, Lamar is getting the excuse to win the MVP in the NFL. And I don't know if that's right. Because if you take Josh Allen off of the Bills, they are not a good team. He does so much for that damn team. And that may have been the case with Lamar last year. I don't know, man. With Derrick Henry there and the way that team plays, they got a pretty stacked squad this year. So if we're talking about impact and MVP because they're carrying a team, that goes to Josh Allen this year. And it's not like his stats suck. But Lamar's stats are way better, and we get that. But if you guys are going to change the narrative every year, then Lamar's always going to be in it. Because it's always going to seem like he's carrying the team because he can run and he could pass. Dual threat guy. His stats are always going to be amazing. His team's always going to be good. When is it going to be given to him, anybody else? Like this year in the NBA, they're already lining it up to give it to the Joker. Even though his team's record is not going to be that great. Because understandably, his team's not that great around him. His team has some holes. But he's going to put up the stats. He's still an analytics cow, cash cow. So yeah, Lamar has become like the Joker of the NFL, man. Like, he can't do anything to not win the MVP. So I don't know if Josh Allen should be the MVP this year or not, but what I do know is that you can't give Lamar the MVP last year over Dak when Dak had the better season and then turn around and flip the script and give it to him over Josh Allen this year. To me, that just seems wild. That just seems wild to me. All right? That just seems wild. So that's what I got to say about that. All right, y'all. I'm going to leave it there. NFL playoffs are around the corner. New Year is around the corner. You guys have a happy New Year. A lot ahead. So look for more. A lot ahead for sports and the real shit. But I appreciate you guys hanging out. That's all I have for today. Wanted to catch up with y'all real quick. I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike, sports and the real shit. Y'all be good. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.